While we're here, let's talk about what it feels like to not have a vision. So from time to time, people contact me for coaching who are in emotionally distressed places. And there is only one cause for that, and they've lost their vision. They've either given up on it, they've either not, or they've achieved it. That's a really amazing discovery. A lot of people get into a distressed state and mentally, emotionally, they get addicted to alcohol and substance because they've achieved their vision. And so there's no longer that spark of, gee whiz, I'm looking forward to the future. Remembering that all human eyes, all animal eyes, all human eyes are turned to the future. Everybody is working today to cause tomorrow, or everybody's doing something right now to cause 10 minutes away. So we are obsessed with the future. There is no choice about that. The only reason we'd want to be in the power of now, live in the now, is to heal ourselves if we are lost. But when we are not lost, all eyes are turned to the future. In fact, it's nearly impossible to do what people say and be in the power of now. Even as I talk, I have lost track of my future. I'm in the present talking to you right now on camera. But the fact is, I can only do that because I know in the next 10 minutes I'm safe. So if I can know the future, plan the future, map the future, hold a vision of the future and have some belief that that's going to manifest, I can be here not without worrying about the future. And this is a really big component of happiness and health and well-being. I remember being in Nepal and spending $500,000 to go on a 30-day expedition into the Himalayas. I trained for it in New Zealand, I went to Indonesia, I hired coaches to teach me how to exist in the wilderness, to abseil off cliffs to survive, and I was going to do a 30-day trek. I hired a helicopter to drop food 15 days in, I hired a guide, we flew up to a remote town, we got ourselves ready for this big expedition into the Himalayas. I had prepared, had a camera, the best camera money can buy. I was going to make a National Geographic documentary about it and sell it and pay all my money back. 3 hours into this trek, 3 hours after 6 months preparation and $500,000 investment, I stopped and gave up. What had happened is I'd looked up at the mountains that we had ahead of us and realized that I was just about to put my life at risk doing this. And I realized that I was emulating or modeling or copying someone else's life. And that person was Sorrel, who I'd met, who'd done exactly this trip somewhere else. And I'd actually said, I want to do that. I want to be Sorrel. But if Sorrel, if you read her book, Sorrel Wilby, A Lone Woman's Trek Across Tibet, or 5,000 Kilometers Across the Top, I think the name of one of her books is. The number of times she came close to death is unbelievable, and yet she's happy to have done it because for her this was death worthy. This her trips were death worthy. To me, I said to myself, I don't want to die doing this. Now, it wasn't a lack of confidence in my ability, it was saying this mission to do an expedition, to go to the National Geographic, to sell it, to bring it back, to make money out of it, to take photographs. This mission was not my mission. And it broke me, it broke my heart, it broke my ego, I can tell you that, because I had to go back and down to Kathmandu and tell everybody I failed. And I was going to tell them I broke my ankle, but I didn't have the courage to lie that deeply. So I just owned up and said, it's not my job. And I ended up walking on an easy, relatively easy trek up to Mount Everest Base Camp. And I freaking loved it. I loved every second of it. There was no sense of impending doom. There was no, the unknown was sort of known. There was a track. And I've been 57 times since. And have I been by myself ever since that first trip? No. I take people there. And so if I die taking people into the Himalayas to show them, to sit under the shadow of Sagarmatha, the Mother Goddess Mountain, to sit under the shadow of Amida Blam, to recognize the infinitely small speck we are in comparison to this magnificence up in the Himalayas, to help people meet Sherpas, to understand the magnificent spiritual culture of a Sherpa life. If I die doing that, that's fine, no problem. In fact, I hope I do die doing that. But I'll only go back up in the mountains taking a client up there to demonstrate this. I won't go for my own needs. I wouldn't die doing that. I wouldn't die for the pleasure of it. I work in Sydney, and every day I hear somebody's car hit something and burst into flames and they incinerated and died. And I wonder if that person was on the way to do something they loved and something that was worth dying for, something they felt really great about, or whether they were just trying to make ends meet or fill their life with something meaningful because they've lost their vision. I honestly think all the depression you hear about, all the domestic violence you hear about comes in part from lost vision. And I think we owe it to ourselves to make sure we get this aspect of our life pretty well pinned down. It's easy to do. It's not hard. It's not complicated. It's just it's because it's organic. It's natural. However, we will lose our vision if we don't spend time in nature. And so the whole concept of a vision quest or writing something down or having a vision or improving your vision, the whole concept of vision is correlated with the amount of time you spend alone sitting under a tree in nature. That's where the Buddha got his vision from. That's where Jesus got their vision from. They were out in nature sitting by themselves and they got their vision. So I think connecting to nature, connecting to this beautiful scenery behind me, connecting to all this, which is just going for a walk. It's not hard. And if you run through it, sometimes you're actually not connecting with it, but it's still better than being indoors. I think going to the gym is a ridiculous notion. Pilates and yoga indoors. This is just ridiculous when we live in an environment where we can be outdoors. I understand some people in Canada and North America, they need to be, and Europe need to be indoors because it's minus 20 outdoors. I've been there. So I understand you wouldn't do Pilates, yoga or gym work outdoors when it's minus 20, but you would do it in summer unless the tsetse flies kill you, unless you're going to get eaten by a bear. So I understand there are reasons, but if you're in an environment where nature, being in nature is not possible, you need to be behind glass where you can actually see nature. That's pretty important stuff. So step five in the Power Hour is think about, recite, connect to, get outdoors, connect to your vision, look at the horizon, have a moment once a day where you get out and you look at your purpose statement and you think through it and you visualize it and you connect to it. Have a great day.